For many years, when I was growing up, New Year's Day was known as the circumcision of Jesus. But through the veil of political correctness, it's been changed into the feast of the holy name of Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with the feast of the holy name of Jesus. But understand that by Jewish law, on the eighth day, something special had to happen. But not to worry, for the day of circumcision was the day when a male child was officially named. You can remember, if you will, the story of John the Baptist, whose father, Zechariah, was struck, if you will, speechless after being met by the angel in the temple. He received his voice back on the day of naming, when people were saying, well, what are you going to call him? And he was trying to write something down, and it blurted out, and he said, his name is John, the eighth day. We also celebrate that day in Jerusalem today, when both a prophet and a prophetess affirm and reveals God's plan. Now, because of the way the readings fall, we don't get to read this part of the gospel in which these two people, a man and a woman, testify to what God was doing through this child that was before them. So I want to share that with you today, because next week we celebrate the feast of the Epiphany, when the three magi come. Well, the magi come. We're not sure that there were three, but they did bring three gifts. I want to make that clear. Well, here we know that through Luke's gospel, a man and a woman testify about this child, that the whole world should rejoice at this baby's coming. It was no accident that both of these people, their names are Simeon and Anna, and they were older people with a full resume of life experience. Anna and Simeon's prophecies share a note of hope and absolute expectation, along with the testimony that this child is God's promise, was now coming to realization. Two older, wise prophets of Jewish piety spoke not only for the nation, but for all humanity. Simeon's prophecy mentions Jesus' relationship not only to the Jewish people, but also to the Gentiles. But all the good news, there's also a hint that things might not go very well. Mary will experience the pain of seeing her son rejected by a divided Israel. Well, back to this naming ceremony. Naming ceremony and circumcision of a young Hebrew child always took place on the eighth day following the birth. And Mary and Joseph carefully observed to the letter of the law. They obediently named the boy Jesus as they were instructed by the angel Gabriel. They were, however, unable to bring a lamb, which was indicative of their getting started as a married couple. And in a very realistic sense, he who was rich became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. That the thank offering and the sin offering were united in one presentation seems to suggest gratitude and penitence were blending together as their gift to the altar of God. According to Exodus chapter 12, verse 2, Numbers 8:16 and Numbers 8:15, the firstborn of man and beast were considered to be the property of God, but in the case of a child, he could be redeemed at the price of 5 shekels. Jesus, the Messiah, was completely identified along with sinful man, even from the beginning of his earthly life. Can you imagine, and I think I talked about this on Christmas, the degree of humiliation that the King of Kings would leave his throne and come down and take on flesh and everything that goes with it? This King of glory took on all of us. And God was never without a witness, even amidst all the corruption that was going on in the temple. Just look at Simeon and Anna, whose eyes, ears, and hearts were open toward God. Simeon was neither a great preacher nor an inspired singer, the type of man whose name would never be in the headlines of a national newspaper. Probably he never occupied a place on any select committee, or represented his organization at an important conference, never would have been the president of a bank or mentioned in any vital news releases. But aside from this, a very brief mention in the New Testament carries great weight. He was an unknown man who lived somewhere in the city of Jerusalem. And the greatest thing ever said about him was that he was an intimate friend of the Holy Spirit. It says so in the Gospel of Luke. The Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon recognized that the nation of Israel was in great danger. He knew that he would actually, in his lifetime, see God's Messiah. Messiah means anointed one. The word Christ is the Greek word for Messiah, anointed one. And by what means that this man was going to recognize the Messiah when the moment arrived, we don't know. But he did. He probably never worried about it. And that very morning, he felt a compelling urge to go to the temple. And we're not told whether he heard the stories that the shepherds had told in Bethlehem, because we heard in today's gospel that they went and told everybody. And Bethlehem is 5 to 6 miles from Jerusalem. But we only know that he came by the Spirit into the temple. And he was just in time to be in time. His song is absolutely beyond description. If you ever do morning prayer, the song of Simeon is right there. And it's taken out of Luke's gospel. And I'm going to share that with you. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace." And you may recognize this line. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what he said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Luke chapter 2, 28 to 35. Now Jesus' parents, Mary and Joseph, are probably very surprised that a stranger should be so acquainted with the facts related to their son. And it was true that the shepherds were aware of his presence, and they knew what the angels had told them, but how could he have known such great detail? Of course, the Holy Spirit. The Messiah, who they knew was their son, would bring blessing to the Jews, but this strange man in the temple spoke of a light of revelation to the Gentiles. It's a whole new idea. Amazing. And both Joseph and Mary must have been totally taken by surprise. Could it be that Simeon knew Isaiah chapter 8, 14? "Then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both houses of Israel, a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Could it be that he knew that all of Isaiah pointed to their son? He spoke of the fall and rise of many. Was this the death and rebirth of many in Christ and their resurrection with him on the final day? Through the death of Christ, which in itself would be a supreme sorrow to his mother Mary, the evil heart of the enemy would be made bare. Sin, which for a long time had been hidden under a thin veil of religious respectability, could be hidden no more. This new demonstration of evil would only deepen the wounds already in the heart of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Anna, we find, is from the tribe of Asher, an elderly lady who was certainly one of the most virtuous women of all of Israel. Luke spells out that she'd been married 7 years when her husband died. And after that, she was given a place, probably a room in the temple in which to live. and it was set apart for it. It's been estimated that if she married at the age of 15, which was not unusual, if after 7 years of married life, she commenced 84 years of widowhood, her age at the time of Christ's coming to the temple would have been 106. And this is probably more compatible with the statement that Luke says, she was very old. At the arrival of the child Jesus in the temple, God used a man and a woman to announce the greatness of that very event and serve as an important reminder to us the job of proclaiming Christ for every Christian. In those days, the testimony of a woman was not held in very high esteem, but let's take a time out here. Who were the first people to find out that Jesus had risen from the dead? Women. The importance of women is really tremendous. Understand that. It's one of the reasons why, if you look at your bulletin, there should be a note at the bottom about a very special event that is coming up later in the month. And that is that my wife Marilyn is going to start a Bible study for women. And she'll take some time, I believe it's a 12-week study. And it should talk about women of the Old Testament and then women of the New Testament. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for women of St. Andrews to find out how God uses and reveres women. He doesn't hold them in contempt. Instead, he raises them up. Important here is that the testimony of women, her place, she was expected to just learn and be in silence. And aren't we glad how times have changed? And you'll see that as we progress through the year. The Bible tells us that once the mission was accomplished and Jesus indeed, they celebrated his bris, his time of circumcision, they returned to Bethlehem. And ahead of them would be a threat by Herod to kill all male children 2 years of age and under. So they would be fleeing to Egypt with a message that Joseph received in a dream. And then 12 years later, they would return to the temple for Jesus' bar mitzvah. And the words of Simeon would indeed become true for the whole world. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. Well, today, we celebrate the feast of the holy name of Jesus. His name was blessed from the very beginning and continues to be blessed today. His name means so much and carries strength and power like no other name. A person's name is their identity, their word, their bond. What is it that you do when you have a document, a legal document? You sign your name. Many times, in order to make sure that it's you, you have to have it notarized. And your name becomes your identity, your legal identity. It's very important. A name means so very, very much. And it carries along with the identity, the integrity of that name and of that family. You find out a lot about a person through their name, both their first and their last. Well, sometimes a name is passed down through generations. For example, my grandfather, who was born in Waterford, Ireland, his name was John Edward Joseph Cummins. And when my father was born in Brooklyn, New York, he was given the name John Edward Joseph Cummins. And when I was born, guess what I got? John Edward Joseph Cummins. It was like weird to have two middle names. But a family tradition continued. I gave that name, or at least John, to my son. But I broke part of the family tradition because I wanted to honor someone else. I want to honor Marilyn's father, Eric. And so our son is John Eric Cummins. And it'll be up to him to do what he will as he passes that name on. But middle names can mean a lot too. It's a current tradition for folks many times to give the last name of a beloved relative as a middle name, or a maiden name will become the middle name of a child. It's a beautiful tradition because names are so very, very important. Think of your own families and how those names honor people, past and present. Jesus was called Jesus of Nazareth, or Yeshua Nazarite. He was also known as Yeshua Bar Yosef, Jesus son of Joseph. He was known also as Jesus the Christ, as the Apostle Paul will say, or Christ Jesus, or Jesus the Messiah. In Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach. Well, Christ is not Jesus' last name. As I mentioned to you, it means anointed one in Greek. But he was known as Jesus Messiah or Messiah Jesus, which is the same as Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. There is truth and there is power in a person's name. I want to share with you in closing some scripture that speaks of the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John 14, 13 to 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. In Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The apostles cry out to God in prayer after they were released from the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, verse 30. They said, stretch out your hand, O God, to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, they were on their way to the temple and they came upon a crippled man. Those of us that were studying Acts and will be again Acts, the book of Acts, on Wednesday nights, you probably recall the lesson in which Peter leaned over and spoke to the man who was crippled and said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. The people who witnessed this amazing miracle, because the guy got up and walked. And he followed them. And people were just dumbfounded. And so Peter told them in Acts chapter 3, verse 16, by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see. On the night before Jesus died, right after he told the apostles, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John chapter 14, he gave them words of comfort and promise by saying, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. And finally, and there's so much more, that you could just go through the New Testament and be astounded how power and love and healing comes through the name of Jesus. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, the Apostle Paul assures us of the power and magnificence of the name of Jesus, which we celebrate today. He said, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.